You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm your also host, Brad Jackson. Also host. You mean co-host?
Something like that.
I don't know.
The other guy. We're the other guys.
I'm just the voices in the background.
I thought those were the voices in my head.
I don't think I want to be in your head. Not ever. No.
I don't want to be in my head. So what are we smoking this week, Brent?
So this week we are smoking the Rocky Patel, the
Martinique?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Martinique. Anyway, however you pronounce this.
This is the TAA 50th anniversary. It's kind of interesting. I mean, we're celebrating a 50th anniversary with a cigar. Our main topic, we're celebrating 40th anniversary. What? All the anniversaries.
Yeah. So, yeah, this has got a Honduran wrapper and Honduran filler. Kind of a medium smoke, they say. And also, like I said, TAA exclusive. So you got to go to one of those TAA shops to pick one up. But this is a regular production line. It's not a... Sometimes, you know, some of these TAA cigars are like, you know, one and done for that particular year. But this is part of Rocky's regular line. So you should be able to pick it up if you can find a TAA retailer in your area. And
if you can't, then you should look at a area with TAA cigar shops. Because that's what I look for when I buy a house.
Yeah. How close are the closest cigar shops?
I mean, it's important when you.
I never want to be more than 30 minutes from a smoke.
Or just a walk downstairs.
Yeah.
Which, depending on the size of your house, could be 30 minutes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, true enough. So this week, we're talking about a movie regarded as one of the greatest comedies of all time, preserved by the National Historic Film Registry, 40th anniversary of Animal House. So, you know, if you're having to throw one of those epic Animal House style parties and you need to keep it going, call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code for Cigar Nerds for 20% off your order. And not only does that stuff mix great with water, it mixes with everything. Your liquor, your tequila, your beer, you know.
I've seen a lot of the orange flavored Strike Force with vodka.
Yeah, the Stradka. That, and I see people pouring it in Bud Light for some reason. That's probably the only thing that makes Bud Light drinkable is some Strike Force. It makes bad liquor better. That should be their slogan. It's their new slogan, yeah. Making bad liquor better. StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Apparently, you just Kick turned that into a slogan.
Exactly. So with that, let's on with the show.
Looks like I missed something.
Yeah, you did. We're all officially kicked out of school. Wormer just got our grades.
It kicked us out of school? Huh. That makes sense.
Hey! What's this lying around shit?
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans?
Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
And time to party.
Yeah, man. So how did you get that motorcycle into the frat house? Drove it up the stairs, of course.
Yes, of course, we're talking about the 40th anniversary of Animal House, you know, which is also like the first movie appearance of John Belushi, a legend himself.
The man, the myth, the legend. There really needs to be a new catchphrase, because that one really gets said a lot. Like, there's way too many man myths and legends out there.
Yeah.
So, we're just going to leave that at fact.
Yes, 1978's Animal House, directed by John Landis, written by Harold Ramis, Doug Kinney, and Chris Miller. Yeah, part of the National Lampoon's productions.
So, you know, the founder of ESO Network, Mike Faber, I wonder if he knows anything about this Dean of Faber College.
Oh, yeah. Dean Vernon of Faber College.
So, you know, this film is interesting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, can you really talk about this film without getting into, you know, sort of the social justice politics of modern times?
Oh, yeah, this is probably one of those, like, there's so many great classic movies from the 70s that they would not allow you to, like, make today.
Well, I mean, it's not allowed, but, I mean, you know, hey.
It's kind of like Blazing Saddles. I mean, could you remake Blazing Saddles in today's, like, you know, quickly butthurt climate?
My butt doesn't hurt. I don't know what you're doing in, as for extracurricular activities, but, you know, hey, I don't judge.
I've been eating a lot of keto. Sometimes that has, like, a bad reaction.
You know, just like if, you know, you don't get into the fraternity of your choosing, even though you're, you know, almost like a legacy, then, I mean, you just got to settle for the party house, you know? I mean...
This is one of those movies that made you want to go to college. I'm like, I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't go to college until I was, like, already a grown-ass man. I'm like, I missed out on this stuff.
So, I've been around colleges quite a bit this year. And I don't think I'm doing college right, because this shit is not reality. Like, there are no sexy pillow fights where I am. And that's really disappointing, because I'm a fan of sexy pillow fights.
I mean, there might be sexy pillow fights. You're just in the wrong house. You gotta go to the, like, you know, it's not the house you want it to be.
I'm on fucking Sorority Row, man. Like,
you gotta go to the fraternities. It's the all dude sexy pillow fights.
That does not fit my definition of sexy pillow fight.
Don't
That's
judge.
A masculine pillow fight. No homo. It's okay, I prefaced. So, you know, in our younger party days, I mean, I feel like we've thrown some relatively successful parties, but never to this magnitude.
No, this is probably like, I mean, it's like, rewatching this, it's like every movie epic party, I think, is like, does it stand up to a freaking Delta party? Because, you know, this movie it starts off with Steven first as Flounder and his partner Pinto, who try to pledge, like, the, like, most, you know, typical, like, white bread stuck-up rich boy frat.
Privileged.
Yeah.
We will say privileged.
Yeah, with a young...
I've been watching a lot of South Park. It's really taught me how to be a lot more PC in my policing. So I've been working on, you know, becoming a better person.
But yeah, it's like... I like that the two losers come in, because it's like it's pledge week, so they have to bring everybody in. But then they're like, hey, let me introduce you to everybody. Yeah, here's all the, like, they keep sticking them off in the corner with all the other losers. And then, like, the one guy tries to break in, and the cover's like, oh, hey, yeah, welcome. Let me show you around. You know, this is so-and-so. So, like, not ever actually letting them see, and he's kind of pointing them out. And then, hey, have you met these guys again? And just puts them right back in the corner with I forget who it was, like, a blind guy. There was a Indian guy. He was like, yeah, here, all the nerds.
With all the people that don't fit the white privileged, you know, I don't even know if you could say white privileged. You can. You can in this film. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad. Just sad.
And
there's also a lot of sexual harassment, and that makes sexual harassment panda sad too.
Sexual harassment panda. You've been watching too much South Park on the road.
It gets lonely at night.
But yeah, since they don't fit in at that particular frat, one of them's brother happened to be a legacy the Delta House, so they decide to try to join there, and they're like, come upon the most epic of parties. Yes, it was the Omegas was the dickhead house, and then
yeah, because they're all the alphas. Which, you know, I mean, going to college has helped me because now I've, you know, definitely got a brand new understanding of Greek letters and, you know, everything of that nature. So now I can look and I can be like, yep, that's Pi Beta Kappa or, you know, Alpha Omega. Yeah, you know.
You've learned to read Latin.
Hey. Bettering my education one step at a time.
Oh. Yeah. Are you on double secret probation?
So, I've got issues with double secret probation. Because you can't be on double secret probation if somebody hasn't made you aware that, hey, you're on second probation. There can't be a secret probation. Like, that's a made-up thing.
That's why it's secret probation. Yeah, because
no, that's, you know, that is bullshit, and you know, no.
Yeah, because unfortunately, Deltas have a epic.
Like, you can't just go out on the street and commit a petty crime, and you know, not go through some type of due process. You know, you know if you're on probation, like, and yeah. There's no secret.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense because he's like, you know, Dean Wormer wants, you know, they have a reputation for being a disturbance on campus, and he wants them gone, and, you know, and he's like, you know, well, how can I get these guys off campus? They're like, you know, like, well, they, you know, don't, like, it doesn't, they're already on probation. We can't, like, you know, put them on any, and they're like, well, now they're on double secret probation. I'm like, okay. Because apparently there's some, like, weird loophole that gives the dean, like, superpowers if, in times of emergency. So he's like, we just need to get them to fuck up enough that we can kick them off campus, which I don't even see why they, like, had to make a plot to, like, try to catch them doing something wrong, because, I mean, they just have to sit around long enough.
You don't even have to sit around. Like, you could just be walking by and, like, oh, wow, all right, well.
Mannequins get thrown out of windows. Yeah, like,
unless that's just normal, you know, in which case, I can understand. It's like, oh, wait, that's a mannequin through a window. No, that happens every Tuesday. Like,
yeah, because it only shows that
it's the Monday mannequin the challenge.
Omegas. Yeah, so the Omegas could have been like the really like weak, stuck up frat, and like every other frat is just as bad as the Deltas. So it's like, you know, nobody, you know, complains about a mannequin. It's kind of like a banana in the tailpipe.
No, see, the problem with it is they got enough money to make people not care. It's like, you know, oh no, their parents are keeping all the funding and everything else up. That's okay. These guys here, you know, they're just there to party. They're just there to live life. Out of everybody on college, they're the ones living. Everybody wants to be like them secretly.
Yeah, it's one of those things too that, like, you see this movie, like, when it comes on TV, and you're always like, oh man, this movie had like huge stars in it, but in reality, this was a cast of unknowns. Like, well, the only person who was famous was John Belushi, and this was his first movie. He had been on Saturday Night Live before that, but pretty much the rest of them, this is like, you know, very early on in their careers. Like I said, a very young Kevin Bacon. Like, the only other big-name star that they kind of had to recruit just to get the movie made, because they're like, we need more A-listers, was Donald Sutherland, who was the hippie stoner professor.
Hey, man, you know. Botany, it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's probably about the only way in a lot of places that you can, you know, play with cannabis. You just gotta call it cannabis, though.
Yeah, if you're sophisticated, it's cannabis. Yes. Yeah, I like that scene when Boone and his girlfriend and then the Pinto go to go to visit her professor, and they're like, so do y'all want to smoke some weed? They're like, yes, we do, sir. Of course, it's the philosophy professor that's like the...
Hey, man, you know what? You got to open your eyes. I've been doing a lot of, you know, sometimes with highway noise and just other shenanigans in an unfamiliar place. You got to find your peace. So I've been, you know, doing a lot of, you know, like sleep meditation style music and stuff. And it's really opened my eyes. It really helps.
Getting that ASMR.
Nah, man, stuff. This is like, you know, binaural and alpha, you know, beats and stuff like that. Like, this is some next level shit. Like, you know, it's really helping me transcend. But I'm doing it through music, not through a substance or a plant. That's my stoner philosophy. See, that was my stoner philosophy without actually being stoned. Although we are smoking a leaf as we speak.
Good Honduran leaf.
It's from Honduras. You know, maybe the tobacco was next to a cannabis plant, and that's allowed us to expand our horizons. We can get on the professor's level.
Oh, yeah, and they're having one of those, like, epic, like, stoner conversations, too. It's like, he's like, you know, oh, yeah, he's like, I've never done weed before. Is this going to make me go insane? He's like, it's a possibility. It's a distinct possibility. And then the one guy's like, let me get this right. Like, we could just be, like, a single atom in the fingernail of some, like, larger being. He's like, yeah, yeah. And as such, like, in my fingernail, there could be thousands of freaking civilizations and other universes inside the cells of my... And like, yeah. He's like, holy shit, man, you're blowing my mind. Can I buy some of this weed from you? Yeah, that poor freshman just, like, just goes, like, all in. Like,
I mean, but think of all the cells. Think of the microbes. Think of the things that you can't see. You are a host. You are another organism's, you know, existence. So, I don't know. I mean, I think they're on to something. Although, I will say, like, you know, I've had people, known people, to record conversations and, like, man, this is so deep. We just had to record it. And you listen to it sober. And it's like, nah, man. Y'all were just on some gibberish.
Oh, yeah. There's been a few nights where it's like, you know, drunk, you're coming up with ideas. That you're like, you know, we could totally freaking, you know, solve all the world's problems. And you, like, try to write it down. And the next day, you're just like, the fuck did I do?
Yeah. There is no control Z. You just wad up the paper and burn it. Pretend it never happened. Until the next night.
Yeah, and like I said, the cast of characters of the Omegas, or the Deltas. Like I said, talked about John Belushi as Bluto Blutarski, and then you have Tim Matheson as Otter, who is the fraternity playa ladies' man, who has like the best room in the entire house, like the. The pretty, he has like the freaking bar with like the, you know, leopard print curtains in bed, in the whole light up like 70s bar, which is pretty. I'm like, I want a bar like that.
I do
sweet.
Like the light dimmer and the music switch and everything. You know, Quagmire definitely ripped that. You know, when he had his house built.
Yeah, like, Otto is definitely like based on Quagmire, who also comes up with some of the best scams too. We'll get to that later on. And then you have James Widow says Robert Hoover, the fraternity president. And like I said, Stephen First. But I think he's been at Dragon Con before as Flounder. But there's another guy who is like D-Day, the weird like biker guy who Bruce McGill has been in like every damn movie. He's one of those like Hollywood character actors that has been around forever. You like, you don't know his name because he's never like the star, but he's in the background of like every fucking movie. I mean, he was even in freaking FDR American Badass. And in the 80s he was MacGyver's best friend.
All right, next Independence Day, we gotta do FDR American Badass.
F- fuck yeah.
Quick, write that down.
To the list.
Yes, it made the list. We really need to get some sound effects like dun 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 list.
Yeah, we need someone to like operate a soundboard. We're gonna get on that. We needed the lighter or whatever.
We've had a lot of talks of this. We just haven't made it come to fruition yet. I mean, we got digital soundboards, but that just isn't as cool as having actual switches and buttons and fancy lights. Like, people see that and they're like, damn, these guys know things.
They got a real studio. Oh. And some of the, this movie has some of the, some of the weirdest little joke. Like, I love the guy, the head of the Omegas who hates the Deltas. There's like repeated shots of him like in a car on a date night and just like, you know, complaining about them. And his girlfriend's like, is it supposed to be this soft? My arm's getting tired.
Maybe she'd have used her little baby arms.
He is my strong, my little hand. That's my strong hand.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's not really a thing so much, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe we're getting old. It's not like, you know, hey, let's drive to the top of the old mountain here and let me explore the top of your mountains.
So, like, yeah. Yeah, there used to be a lot more, like, secluded places. Like, the world's grown too much.
Too much urban sprawl, man.
Yeah, man. There's no, like, make-out spots anymore like there was back in the 70s and in the 60s.
Everybody's got houses and cars. And nobody makes out anymore. They just look at their phone. Like, I'm making out through you with you digitally through my phone. Like, hold on. This might make the list. We need an app so when two phones touch, they kiss.
Oh, you get like a sexually transmitted phone virus.
Whoa.
Oh.
It's going to be like the revitalization of the Tamagotchi. It's already in your pocket everywhere you go.
God.
It's a billion-dollar idea right there.
Here we go. It's like Pokemon Go, but instead of catching Pokemons, you're catching STDs.
How many can you give before you receive?
God. Gotta catch them all.
Ah, Jesus. What has happened? As degenerate of a film as this is exactly what it's turned into, this podcast. 40 years later, the degeneration still continues.
Yeah, it's the reputation still holds up.
Like, all right, you know, great party moments, I guess, you know, just, you know, hey, we're coming of age film. We're exploring new territory. We're finding out about the opposite sex. We're giving into our carnal desires. Like, it just, and then, you know, fast forward 40 years and here we are. Two lonely guys sitting in a basement. This is where everybody ended up from that film. Like for me, like the gripe I have about this film is there is no closure. No closure whatsoever. Like, there needs to be a, you know, like, you know, this a missed opportunity would be they needed to do for the 30th anniversary, like getting, you know, as much of the original cast together and being like, here they are now. Like,
they did,
because
a like a fake documentary Landis did later on as like a Where Are They Now, where he went and like interviewed the characters and found out what happened to him.
Because I mean, it's like, you know, all right, we got this epic parade and we've, you know, completely trashed the parade and all right, roll credits. It's like we ran out of budget prematurely to actually like, hey, we never really saved our fraternity, but, you know, we all gained a lot of, you know, life experience and, you know, went on about our jobs working at Walmart and gas stations and, you know, fast food restaurants. And
yeah, it is weird because there is that, you know, most movies, like you say, you know, stuff, other weird college movies where they have to save a fraternity, like you know, fucking Revenge of the Nerds and like that. There's always like an ending. They always save the day at the end. But this movie really has no ending. No. Like they get kicked off campus and expelled, so they decide to get revenge and just trash the homecoming parade and fuck up the dean and everybody. And then it ends. I mean, you get the little like post credit like pause, and then here's like where all these people like ended up, and most of them ended up like successful. Freaking Bluto becomes like president, and which that is like a trope that I've seen like show up in so many other movies since then. The whole like, this is what happens to them later. Pause text screen thing, but yeah, it's like this. It kind of goes against the you know the writing of movies where it's like you got to have a beginning, middle, and end. This one is like almost like a series of skits like pulled together by like you know kind of an overall story. But there's no end. There's the climactic, you know, final battle, but yeah, there's no resolution.
Yeah. Like, you know, I was just like, you know, but that's great, though, because, you know, this film here, I think, you know, definitely paved the stones for, you know, a lot of, you know, the American Pie series. Wilder is another one that really comes to mind. Let's see. There's several other ones that are eluding me right now that I did have on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah.
Yes, on the 2003 Double Secret Probation Edition DVD includes a short film, Where Are They Now? A Delta Alumni Update, which is like a fake mockumentary where they went around and tracked down as many of the original actors as they could and showed what they were doing.
When I paid to rent this, like, that should have been, you know, customers also, you know, rented this mockumentary. That would have given me, some closure. I would have felt more complete. Because here I'm just like, man, did he ever, you know, overcome the low testosterone? And, you know, was he, you know, was he able to have a family? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, it's so weird too. That, like, you know, this is kind of like what's happened with like the death of physical media. It's because, like, you know, I don't remember the last DVD or Blu-ray I bought, because now it's all streaming. Like, I can either download it or it's on Netflix or whatever. But back in the day, you'd buy a DVD or a Blu-ray, and there was all the special features and documentaries and shit like that. So it's like, you know, as a kind of a movie nerd, I used to always love like just diving deep on that shit. But it's like, now it's like, it's all digital. It's like, I've never seen these
CDs
anymore.
You know, I think, you know, some of my favorite CDs were the ones that, you know, had the lyric books, or, you know, they had, you know, artwork inside the pamphlets and not just, hey, here's a sleeve with an album cover on it. Like, what the fuck? It costs more than ever, and I don't even have a 30-page booklet with my CD.
I'm just going to
get the MP3 for $1.99.
That's like, you know, the Ginger Avenger the other night was like, I want to watch Dogma. And I'm like, well, I happen to have like the anniversary, like special edition of Dogma, you know, still on DVD. So like, I pull this thing out and she's like, why is there three discs? And I'm like, cause you know, back in the day when like, you know, they'd make DVDs, they would include all kind of special features. You didn't get that shit on VHS, and you don't get that now. When now that everything we watch is like friggin' downloaded or, you know, streaming through some service. I'm like, back in the day, you had these things called special features.
They were selling points.
Yeah.
You had a lot less piracy, too, because you were getting a lot bang for your buck.
Yeah. It's like, nowadays, you spend $20, like, fuck, what did I get? I got just the movie. I mean,
sometimes you get a digital download, too.
Where's my damn audio commentary track, yo? That used to be the fun stuff. It was like a podcast before podcasts. Proto podcasting. That's something they should do.
Interesting revelation.
Yeah, they should like release like podcasts of like, you know, audio commentary of movies that since like, you know, no one buys discs anymore, you can download a podcast to
I don't know,
up,
man.
As an audio commentary track.
There's still certain films that I'm like, all right, I got to get a hard copy of it, you know. But they're kind of few and far between these days.
can't remember the last thing I actually bought.
But then again, it's like, you know, you rent something off YouTube or, you know, any of the other major apps, and it's like, rent this for 48 hours for $2.99. And I'm like, man, I can go to the store 10 minutes from now and spend $10 more, and I own it for life.
Yeah. But we've gotten lazy now, so we'll pay the $2 instead of driving to the store.
I will pay the $2 to just not have to deal with the general public.
Yeah, it's a convenience fee.
And therefore, I am a recluse.
Oh, yeah, this, especially now with, like, Amazon buying grocery stores and shit, like, you can get anything delivered. Like, if I could work from home, like, I would never have to leave again. I could have cigars, food, everything just delivered.
So, you know,
live in my van down.
I guess while we're on this little tangent, you know, we're talking about convenience. You want to know something that is not convenient?
What?
Going to a Walmart at 11:45, where all they have is self-checkout. Because when you got 60 items of back-to-school supplies, and you're fucking having to stand there at self-checkout and ring up every one, it's like, put me on the fucking payroll, because I'm doing somebody else's damn job. And that is the reason why I will pay for something digitally to not have to put up with that bullshit.
True.
Because I, for one, am too lazy to ring up my own shit.
Well, if you're the new thing they've got now, they've got, it's like tests in certain stores where, you know how now you have your Samsung Pay, Apple Money app, where it just charges money, like, you don't even have to have your card, you can just pay through an app.
Yeah.
Well, they have certain stores Walmart's been testing where there are no checkouts. Like, literally, like, you bag up your shit, and as you're going out the door, like, it can tell what all's in your cart, and it automatically charges you.
Which, that's fine and dandy, but if I'm having to put that shit into a bag, then I'm going to need, like, a 20% discount off my total or some shit. Like, why the fuck, my time is money, so why the fuck am I investing my time, a.k.a. my money, and giving it to you? I will not do that. Therefore, you know, shit will come to my house or wherever, and, you know, it'll be honky-dory, because I'm lazy like that.
Yeah. I still like going to stores and looking at things. It's like to actually touch things before I buy
them. That's fine.
But then I go to the store, I touch them, and then I go home and I order them off of Amazon. Like, yeah, I need that. I'm going to go find that online.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. If it's like 5 or 6 items, all right, no big deal. But when you got a fucking cart full of shit, and it's like, come on, man. Why do people let this happen?
Yeah, speaking of shopping. Yeah, there's the you know, shoplifting scene.
It's okay. It's for the fraternity. I'm pledging.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like the pledge. He's like, let me check like, here.
And literally, she's given zero fucks.
Yeah. Which that's, yeah, most like, yeah. People you deal with are just like, yeah, I don't care anymore. He's like, I'm getting paid minimum wage. It's like, whatever. And he's just completely like, looks like he's wearing a fat suit. They've stuffed so much like meat in him, which, yeah, that could sound bad too. Depending on how he's pledging that fraternity. And then like, it's on the 13-year-old cashier.
That's the other thing too. Like, you know, I mean, outside of the spankings or whatnot, I mean, it doesn't really seem that, you know, all that cumbersome. Like, show up and you're pretty much in.
Yeah, because like Omega's,
hey,
have
you
their,
like booze? All right.
Yeah, I like
welcome
their,
to the brotherhood.
Their pledge entry versus like the uptight Omega one. They're like, they're all like wearing robes and chanting and like, you know, fucking beating the shit out of Kevin
it's
Bacon.
Because they're evil.
Yeah, like, thank you, sir. May I have another? And you go to the Deltas. They're like, all right, I pledge allegiance to the frat. Okay, you're in. Drink this. Okay.
One of us. It's almost like Dragon Con, right? It's, yeah, like, I've never been to Dragon Con. All right, well, we'll initiate you with pie and, you know, welcome to the fray.
Here is pie. Download the app. And, yeah, just if you're looking for a thing, it's somewhere where you're not. It's going to be, like, across through hotels. If you want to get somewhere fast, don't walk through the Marriott. Welcome to the club.
If you want to get somewhere fast, just avoid Atlanta in general.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be a survival tip.
I'm telling you, we got to go down there. I saw, like I said, director Faber does his like pre-Dragon Con like walk through video We need to go down there one weekend before Dragon Con and film our own walkthrough video and just point out the smoking spots.
Why? Because we only use three.
Exactly, but some people might not know those. It'll be a short video. We can make one quick lap, and then we'll go hang out at the phone booth until time to go home.
Hey, I'm at the Hyatt. Oh, by the pool? Yep. You'll see me at $100. Okay. I know exactly.
We're either at the Hyatt, we're at the Hilton, or we're at the phone booth. That's pretty much the three smoking. And underneath the main awning of, or the entry to the Marriott with the big stone ball fountain thing there. You know, usually off in either one of the corners. You know, 'cause that's where we meet up with Norm, since he never leaves the Marriott.
Norm lives at the Marriott.
He's like the weird troll that like lives under the bridge, except it's the Marriott.
He's probably got a secret lair like under the water globe thing.
Yeah. Oh.
He's like, this is really where ops go down.
Oh.
Dragon Con CIA.
It's funny too. This also had Boone, his girlfriend that hates him hanging out and drinking all day with the Fret. But it's, you know, a young Carrie Allen who you may know from, because the whole time when I first saw him, I'm like, where the hell do I know this lady from? I'm like, oh shit, that's the girl from Indiana Jones. Pre Indiana Jones.
She's like, I want to go on adventure, so I'm going to go start raiding some temples.
I mean, yeah, she does hook up with the professor, and then later on, she's in a movie where she's, you know, hooked up with the archaeology professor. She went from the philosophy professor to the archaeology professor.
I mean, she's keeping them smart.
And Donald Glover wearing nothing but a... Or not Donald Glover, fucking Donald Sutherland wearing nothing but a sweater vest. That's more of that man than I've ever cared to see.
I really feel like we should throw a toga party, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wonder if there's a toga party at Dragon Con. If not, there should be. I mean, there is the ABC party, the anything but clothing party. We could definitely toga it up and go to that. Toga.
Yes, the gears are turning. How many days we got left? Who's counting? What is it, like 30?
32 as of today. Wow. I've got a countdown app on my phone. Yeah, this, I said, you know, and some of the, like, just the weird skits with, like, John Belushi make this movie. Like, he's probably like the highlight of the movie. Is like, you know, anybody like talks about Animal House, they mostly remember the scenes with with him. Because like the one part where they're in the cafeteria and he's going up and just loading up with like shitloads of food, and I was watching that and I'm like, yeah, that used to be me at Golden Corral before I went on the diet. Just like freaking piles and piles of shit, and then goes sits down like sit down with all the freaking omegas, and he's like, you know,
hey guys,
and he's like, they're like, you're calling him disgusting. He's like, hey, y'all want to see a freaking impression? He goes, guess what I am, and then freaking just spits like mashed potatoes all over him. I'm a zit, get it? And then starts a freaking
an epic
fight.
Food fight, yeah, food fights.
That's another thing you don't see anymore.
I've never been involved in an all-out food fight.
Oh, I'm a fat guy. I don't throw waste food like that. Don't throw it, eat it.
That should be a new slogan. Don't throw it, eat it.
And then one of my favorite just like simple jokes in that movie with him is when he decides to sneak up to the sorority house and spy on them. You know, crawls up the ladder and he's like watching the
very
whole,
conveniently like, placed ladder, by yeah. the way. Like,
yeah, sets up the ladder and is like right there watching the half naked pillow fight, and then the girl that he's like, you know, been obsessing over the whole time, like walks in and goes off to her room. So he like hops his ladder over to her side and watches her get naked, and then as soon as she like, you know, gets topless and like sticks her hands down his pants, the, like, you know, ladder starts, like, raising away from the wall, and then he falls. It's like the simplest little, like, you know, erection joke that it's just so simple that it's freaking hilarious. And then when he hits the ground, he has that look that you're like, you don't know if he just jizzed in his pants or he's in severe pain. Probably both.
That is emotional and mental anguish.
Yeah.
That is that look, sir.
And I think I've even seen that, like, repeated in movies before, just that slow raise away from the wall once he sees the naked lady in the crash. Which later on, when they get to the big epic trashing of the parade, and he swings in all pirate style and snatches and kidnaps her. And then you see him later, and, like, they're in love. It's like, you know, a relationship that started with a kidnapping. Like I said, there's so many things in this movie that are like, you know, people today would be like, oh my God, that's wrong.
Well, and in fact, that is very much a real thing. You know, as I was, watching this film and just, you know, poking around on, different websites and whatnot. I mean, there were a lot of people, you know, like, can we really celebrate? Should we be celebrating this film? Like, there's a lot of, controversy surrounding that. I mean, which, granted, it's not necessarily wrong. I mean, you know, nobody likes a peeper or a creeper. Don't be a peeper creeper.
Creeping peepers. Whoa. I mean, people just need to, like, fucking lighten up, man. It's a fucking joke. It's a fictional movie. Calm the fuck down. People get butthurt over too many things these days. It's like, you can't, like, comedy is like, you know, like, I don't see how anyone can be a comedian or make comedy movies anymore, because now everything is offensive. It's supposed to be funny. In fact, if it's offensive, it's usually more funny.
PC Principal would not stand for that.
Oh, no. Neither would Sexual Harassment Panda.
That makes Sexual Harassment Panda sad.
Oh.
It's a sad panda.
But another good highlight of this movie is, like, I always like a movie where a guy who's an asshole ends up, like, you know, getting karma, revenge in some way. And in this movie, the key asshole is the ROTC commander, Needlemeyer, who just his voice of, like, yelling, you know, fucking, you know, yelling and dressing down people is just like, yeah. Like, I mean, he was in that, was it the Twisted Sister music video that he's in, where he's like, you know, bitching about rock and roll and yelling at the kid and shit. And I remember him being in some rock video, because I just remember his voice and his, like, epic, like, chewing out of some kid because he likes rock and roll. But yeah, that guy has, like, so many bad things happen to him. Like, first off, like, he's freaking just...
He loves his horse.
Yes, a little bit too much. I'm the whole time like, he's totally molesting that horse. Like, I want to call PETA, because that guy's relationship with his horse is just not right.
I mean, the horse apparently loves him too. I mean, dude, they shared a carrot. Like, the most intimate way you could feed a horse.
Yeah, they shared more than a carrot. onward, Buttercup. There's fuckery to spread.
I'm done.
But yeah, friggin' Boone and Otter, like, you know, hitting golf balls at him while he's up there, you know, addressing the troops. And you know, he's like, no. He's like, he keeps missing. He's like, I'm hooking it to the right. And he's like, no, you gotta really follow through. And, you know, it's just like a whole, like, discussion on proper golf thing. And, like, finally, like, hits the horse and it rears up and then hits him in the head and knocks him off, and the horse just drags his ass. So then later on you see him, he's like got a freaking neck brace, and sure enough, when Bluto starts the food fight, he gets trampled again. It's like, bad shit just keeps happening to that dude. And it's like, and it's, you know, you cheer for it because he's such an asshole.
Yeah, I was a little bit saddened by the, it was supposed to be a blank shot, it wasn't.
Yeah, because, you know, freaking, he's like really going after a Flounder, and of course D-Day and Bluto's like, you know, you can't take it from that guy. We can't let him, like, abuse somebody of the fraternity like this. So they steal his horse and put it in the dean's office, and they're like, all right, "Now you gotta go kill the horse." And he's like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you can't let this stand." And, like, gives him a 45, and he goes in there and he's like, "Well, I'm just gonna shoot it into the wall." And they're like, "It's loaded with blanks, right?" "Yeah, it's like just freaking initiation." But turns out the horse has a heart attack, and that's the joke too. Like the next day, when like the dean is talking to the mayor of the town, trying to get permission for this parade, you see the horse is still there behind the couch with his like legs stuck up in the air, and the maintenance guy's like measuring the horse and like measuring the door, trying to figure out how to get him out. Like the whole time they have this conversation, and then finally comes up with the chainsaw. I'm like, oh, that was going to be the cleaning crew is not going to have fun that day.
I thought he was carving a statue. I didn't realize that was the horse's legs.
Oh, I hope it was his legs, and he didn't just like cut it like right down the center. That would have been really messy.
Horse steaks. I've never had horse meat. It is a thing in a lot of countries.
I don't know. I've eaten glue before. I heard it's the same thing.
Glue. Had jello. That supposedly contained horse hoof. For the gelatin. I don't know, man.
Eat what you want and ride the rest home.
I'm left with nothing but a front quarter.
Is that how they got the name Quarter Horse? From like Quarter Pounders?
Could be.
Oh, and then when they finally do get kicked out, they decide to like, we should just, you know, take a night and go on a road trip.
Maybe that's how the Scimitar came to be.
Which is like one of the, that's what happened with Nina Miner and his horse. Yeah, that's what happened. That's how you get centaurs. Oh, but yeah, like another just like weird tangent in the movie. Like I said, this movie's like a series of skits where they go off to, you know, and Otter tells them he's got them all dates at this girls' college, and he goes in there with like one of the most epic scams. He's like, "Yeah, I'm here to, you know, see so and so," and they're like, "I'm her fiance." And they're like, "Oh my god, you know." And then comes down, he's like, "Yeah," she's like, "Yeah, she died in a kiln explosion." He's like, "Oh my god, she said she was gonna make me a bowl." And just like, "Cause, you know, we're supposed to have a date tonight." She's like, "Is there anything?" He was like, "Well, you can come with me. I don't want to be alone." She's like, "Okay." It's like, "Could you also find three dates for my friends?" I mean, it is a total quagmire scam. I mean, it was freaking genius.
It is never okay to take advantage of somebody. Although, you know, it's kind of a, you know, definitely seen studies where, you know, people who are grieving have.
I mean, if we learn nothing from the movie Wedding Crashers, that funeral crashing is also a thing. But so they end up, because they have Otis Redding play at their was it Otis Redding? The singer at their freaking toga party. But yeah, they see he's playing some club while they're out in this town. They're like, "Hey, let's go here." And it turns out it's like pretty much a, you know, like an African-American only club. And they're like the only white people in there. And these like, you know, freaking Flanders at the bar, or one of them's at the bar, like, trying to talk to a guy. And he just like pulls a switchblade out. And then these two big guys come over and they're like, you know, "We want to dance with your dates." And they're like, "Yeah, sure." And the guy just grabs like the table that's bolted to the floor and just like rips it out of the floor and moves it aside and like takes the girls. And the other guy's like, "If I was you," and like, "Yeah, we would leave. Yeah, yeah, totally." And they just like freaking get out of there, like, "They're going to kill us." And like hit like every car in the park lot on the way out.
Speaking of hitting, that was one of the things about this film is hijack a buddy's car. Force him in there with a bunch of booze. And, "Hey, I know you only got it for the weekend. We're your brothers. We'll take care of it." Yes. Shit never arrives the way that it left.
No. That is happening every... I mean, hell, it even happened to, like, Road Trip. I mean, it's like every movie where you're borrowing somebody's car, it's gonna be destroyed.
That's not a movie thing. That's real life, man.
Oh, yeah. I remember we put somebody's car in a lake one night. That happened. So, yeah, it is true. It's like, you know, borrow somebody's dad's car and be like, hey, we should back it down the boat ramp, get the tires wet so we can lay drag. And then the guy who's driving, you know, has depth perception problems apparently and backs it all the way into the lake.
Eventually, the concrete ends.
Yeah. We're like, wait a minute, we're floating. Fuck.
How long will it float? Because it's not a boat.
Luckily, it was a front-wheel drive car. So, you know, when it sunk, the engine was still out of the water enough that we were able to drive out of the lake. And it was like at the car wash trying to vacuum water out of the back seat before we took it home.
This car smells musky.
Why is there a fish under the seat?
Is it a tuna fish?
I saw Jaws, man.
It is Shark Week.
Yep. I saw a thing on Instagram. It was like Shark Week on a budget. And it was somebody just like with one of those like grabby mouth like toy arms with like the you squeeze it and the mouth opens and closes. And it was just that in front of the beach. And it was like...
You know, this is, you know, statistically, though, the safest week to go swimming, though, right?
Yeah, because all the sharks are on TV.
Yeah, they're all, you know, waiting to be filmed and such. So, you know, you're free to go. As long as you don't see Discovery Channel people, you're all right.
Yeah, if I saw Discovery Channel, like, crew, I'm like, nope, I'm not going on this beach. Fucking Shark Week.
It's going to be a note for me, dog.
I remember Epic Mealtime did Shark Week during Shark Week one time, and it was all, like, meals that would guarantee to give you diarrhea.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Good Mythical Morning.
That is one of my favorite, like, YouTube shows. I watch that shit, like, every morning. They find some fucked up shit on that show.
They do.
Just all the stuff that, like, you know, you can eat. That, like, since I've been doing, like...
Don't worry, it's spoiled for safety.
That's one of the things, too, like, since I've been doing the keto diet and, like, not eating any bread, they did, like, a whole, like, hot dog episode. I'm like, God damn it, like, I don't even eat hot dogs that much, but I really want a fucking hot dog now. That's, like, one of the highlights, because I'm like, I'm not cheating on the diet until Dragon Con, and I can't wait for one of those, like, 3 a.m. street dogs in front of the CVS. Just, yeah, a good freaking street dog when you're drunk is, like, one of the best meals you can have.
What are you doing getting drunk at Dragon Con? Don't you know that's a family event?
What are you doing at sober Dragon?
Living life, man. Living life.
Yeah, like our usual Dragon Con routine is like, no, we got to stay sober and professional until after we finish the interviews for the day. All right, we have no more interviews. Let's get drunk until tomorrow's interviews. I mean, we were doing shots in the line who was it?
Wasn't Michael Rucker.
Yeah, it was Rucker's panel. We're like doing shots with people in line waiting to get into that panel.
Shot, shot, shot. Everybody! I do not own rights to this music. There we go. We're good.
Shot, shot, shots.
The legal team's looking over that. Watch it.
Yeah, but then, like I said, after the epic parties and them getting kicked out, They have the vengeance sequence of like we're gone anyway. We need to, you know, we have friggin' Belushi's epic, if not historically inaccurate, speech of, you know, did the Germans did we surrender when Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? He's like, Germans? He's like, leave him alone. He's on a roll.
If it wasn't so you know, non-factual, might have been inspiring.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, the tough get, you know, when the rough going gets tough, the tough get going. Come on, who's with me? And just runs out and, like, nobody leaves. Everyone's still. And then finally, like, the one guy who'd gotten beat up is like, you know, he's right. And they're like, yeah. It's like, you never want to be the first guy through the door. You got to wait till at least one person agrees with you. Then it's like, yeah, it's.
Always reminds me of, what was it? The Hangover. We're all going streaking.
Oh no, it was, oh shit!
Old Beer school. Fest or old school?
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know, man. All these movies run together.
Freaking Will Ferrell just running naked down the road. We're all straight. Oh shit! I'm the only one here.
Get in the car. No,
Frank the Tank. Oh, but yeah, that you know, building the Deathmobile out of the what was left of Flounder's brother's car, and then hiding it in the cake that says "Eat Me."
Which I was almost wondering, like, you know, you see him there with a cutting torch and everything, and you're like, man, they're really about to fix this car up like nothing ever happened. And then it's like, oh, no, they just made Death Proof on wheels.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a weird, like, Batmobile.
Very much like the Batmobile.
With the head of, like, the school statue on the front of it. And then, the ROTC guys fighting them. And again, you know, Needle Meyer getting punched in the face, or run over by the flying hand that when the Brotherhood float gets broken in half, and then apparently freaking marching bands are just trained to follow the guy with the staff, because the one guy just comes and takes out the band leader and just like, all right, follow me, we're going down this alley, and they just all like crash into the wall.
I don't know, man. That still didn't give me any closure. No closure whatsoever. It's like, all right, cool. We made a mockery of this. Roll credits.
Yeah.
I'm still a bit confused as to what I may or may not have seen.
And I gotta say, for all the things of, like, bad things people have done, you know, freaking Pinto, when he meets the girl at the grocery store, and she comes to the party, and he gets her, like, half-naked, and she passes out drunk. You know, that scene.
I mean, he did have a moment of, you know, self-doubt, you know?
Yeah, with the whole, like, angel and devil, and it's like, the devil's like, you know, come on, fuck the shit out of her. And, you know, and then so he finally, like, agrees with the angel, and the devil's like, you pussy. And it's
But I don't know about taking her back to her parents' house in a shopping cart. I think I might have rethought that one just a wee bit.
Yeah, just knocks on the door and, like, leaves her there. That's, but he still did not take advantage of her.
That is an epic game of Ding Dong Ditch.
Yeah, but then when he finds out, you know, hooks up with her later, it's like, oh, guess what? I'm 13. It's like, oh, fuck. But then he goes to, like, you know, to the parade with her, and she's like, hey, Daddy, this is the guy who molested me last week. And he's like, oh, shit. Yeah.
See, it's that moment that we might have crossed the line.
Yeah, just a little.
I definitely feel like a line has been crossed here.
Yeah, it's
and that's why, you know, as much as I'm,
maybe in future editions they cut that that part out. That might be a little far.
I mean, you know, a lot changes in 40 years. Yep. You know, at one point, people were getting married and having families at 16. We don't do that shit anymore.
No.
It's not okay. Not okay. Yeah. So, maybe, just maybe, Twitter doesn't get blown up with, you fucking bigots, we hate you. And I don't want the social justice police knocking on my door. I don't want Sexual Harassment Panda to be sad.
Yeah, that may be the one joke in the movie that I'm like, all right, maybe y'all have a point on this one.
That one, you know.
This one I won't defend.
The peeping, you know, not really, you know, that's not okay.
I mean, he marries the girl that he's peeping at, though, so, I mean, they brought it back around.
Does that still make it all right?
They lived happily ever after. He became president.
He's not a fucking Disney princess, all right?
I don't know. Disney owns everything now. He might be a Disney princess by now. Who knows? Oh,
Frankenfurter's a Disney princess. $73 fucking billion. Dollars. Oh, God. I just need to figure out how to get, like, a percentage of that.
I can't even, like, conceptually imagine that amount of money.
But then it's crazy to think about how much money that is versus how much national debt, and to be like, that's not even a drop in the pond. Everybody could donate everything that they have, and it's still not a drop in the pond.
Yeah. And of course, the little, like,
drop in the pond.
Where everyone ends up. You know, Needle Meyer gets murdered by his own troops in Vietnam. So it's like the asshole gets the ultimate, and it's like, you know, pretty much like all the assholes, bad things happen to them eventually. And, you know, the Omegas, you know, one of them becomes a DA, and the pervert's a gynecologist, and
you know, they all got might be another line.
Yeah, true.
There's a few lines here. Maybe what we need to do to recenter ourselves and give ourselves some redeeming qualities, because cigar nerds are family entertainment. As long as all your family is over the age of 18. But maybe this goes on the list. We do a future episode where we are the PC police.
Oh, God. No movie will be safe. Everything made before 2011, probably. Like,
no, what we need to do is just pick out one or two films and just go through and analyze each time a line has gotten crossed. Because that's going to help us become better people.
We may be beyond redemption at this point, though.
I like to think that there's the ability to forgive and for people to redeem themselves. Except for some people.
But then again, you know, things kind of, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth, and you know, you go back to, like, the 50s, and things were, like, super uptight. Like, you know, people thought rock and roll was the devil's music. And then it kind of went, you know, the other way. And now it's, like, you know, swinging back where everything's, like, super PC again. Like, you know, hopefully eventually things will be funny again. I mean,
there just needs to be a medium, right? If you're not causing harm to yourself, to others, if it doesn't impact you directly, maybe, well, I can't really say that, because there's some bad things that could happen that, you know, maybe people can't relate to or whatever. But if there's no physical or, you know, long-lasting damage, or, you know, nobody's civil rights or, you know, emotions or anything else are scarred and traumatized out of, you know, just sheer hatred, then, oh wait, had one of them moments from the, damn, he was on a roll, and there it went.
And like Animal House, and we have like no that conclusion. So, speaking of conclusions, any final thoughts on this here, Monty Q or Martini Q, whatever the hell it's called?
So, you know, I'm learning. I've always been a big fan of Nicaraguan cigars. Starting to really dig the Honduran, though. This has actually been a touch spicier than I originally anticipated smoke.
Got some pepper to it.
And I'm quite digging it. It reminds me a little bit of the cigar from our last review. But it's coming from the same region. So that probably shouldn't be that much of a shock.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like things, you know, like I said, the pendulum going back, like Nicaraguan tobacco seems to be super popular now, and a lot of people are using it. But yeah, like, you know, a lot of the old Rocky stuff was Honduran, and you know, I've kind of forgot how peppery Honduran tobacco is. And like I said, it's not a, you know, because I like some spice and some pepper. So yeah, I'm glad this is one that's kind of a all-the-time available smoke.
And it's, you know, outside of, like, the Maduro, the Super Lajero. Got the hiccups. Holler if you hear me.
Boo.
Ah! It's a wrap. It's a very inexpensive smoke and a very enjoyable one. And it's right there at about that hour time frame, so
yeah, it's not a because it only comes in a Toro size, so there's no big 660s. I mean,
this cigar must be quite spicy, because every time I watch somebody eat spicy peppers, they get the hiccups, and I have the hiccups.
And with that, we'll be back with the next segment.
Do you want to dance?
Yeah!
You know you make me wanna kick my heels up and shout. Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my hands back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Say that yeah.
Say you will.
Say that you love me.
Say
that you need me.
Say
that you want me.
Say
you wanna please me.
Say
come on now.
Say
come on now.
Say
come on now.
Say
I want you to know.
Now it's time for Blowin' Smoke.
And now it's time for some Blowin' Smoke. We talked last week that we get a lot of questions out and about how do you start a podcast. So we're kind of going to do like a brief podcasting 101 this episode and kind of give you some basic advice if you're like us sitting at home like, I want to talk about shit on the internet.
Yeah, and Joe and I bring an interesting dynamic. Normally, Joe handles the socials and, the posting of the episode. I do all the behind the scenes as far as just the production and recording and, taking all the tidbits and making it into an episode. So we got an interesting team dynamic here.
So yeah, let's start with like the actual
setup
recording
of a podcast.
Like I said, you can pretty much record. We have a Zoom H6 digital recorder, but they make several different digital recorders. Or if you don't want to invest in something like, we like that because it's something very portable that we can take around in the place. But you can record it on your, you can record it on your cell phone. You can record it on a computer. You're just directly, with a USB mic directly into your laptop. I mean, if you're someone who is doing a solo podcast where you don't have guests or co-hosts, that may be an easy solution for you. You just a headset mic that you can plug right into your computer.
Now, I will caveat that because that is absolutely a true statement there.
But the important part of that is your microphones.
Well, and that's what I wanted to get into is, the question that a lot of people, I think forget to ask is, what is the quality of the podcast you're looking for? Do you want something that sounds like it's semi-professionally produced, or do you want to sound something that sounds like a recorded cell phone conversation? Nothing wrong with either one of those, but that's kind of the first question that you need to ask yourself. And then two, are you going to have interviewers, or are you going to have multiple people? What type of, like you said with the H6 here, the reason we opted for it is one, we can get professional quality sound, but then two, it offers, just on the device itself, four inputs for four different microphones, plus, two external mics. So, if we want background noise, or if we have, a round table of four or five people, this does it. If you're just somebody that's going to have people call in to a cell phone or something, then, Skype, USB headset, couple of 3.5 millimeter audio cables, and you're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, and even when we have like Skype, we can plug all that into the Zoom. But no matter what you use for the actual storage of the data that you record on, key thing is going to be having good microphones. And they don't even have to be expensive microphones. We were using like Shure, basically the same microphones you'd use if you were singing or whatnot. So because they got good, vocal audio quality, but I think we spent, $50 a piece on these things. They're not super expensive microphones. And if you, like I said, using a USB microphone, that'll plug right into your computer, always go for whatever has got the best quality. Because if you go back and listen to, say, episode 1 and 2, when we tried to record just on the onboard microphones of the Zoom, I mean, it's functional. It just doesn't sound
super great. Sounds like a cell phone
conversation. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the one thing is don't go cheap. Or at least not quality-wise on your microphones. Have a good set of microphones. Also, you want to have some kind of, we have headsets, headphones to listen to it. Because it's one thing, it was like when you're recording and you're not hearing what's going through, you don't know if your volume's off or, if you get into a conversation, you might drift away from the microphone, but if you can actually hear yourself speak, it kind of trains you to, like, you know, maintain that, and you know, your distance to your microphone. You can tell if something's off. You can also tell if there's, you know, background noise being picked up. You know, if you're, you know, it's kind of bad if you've spent 2 hours recording a podcast and then you're like, hey, there was this buzzing that we didn't know about, and this recording is just kind of crap if you don't know how to edit that stuff out. So it's good for at least one person to be actively listening to what you're recording, so you know what you're doing. What about you know, software side of it? You know, actually, because I mean, you can just record something, throw it up on the internet without much editing and stuff. But if you're going to do a professional show, you need to do some kind of, even if you're just attaching intros and outros to your podcast, you're going to need some kind of software, or, you know,
a digital audio workstation, as we like to call it. But, you know, it's a dime a dozen. I mean, you're going to get people out there that's going to say, oh, yeah, I only operate in Pro Tools, or I use Cubase. You know, at the end of the day, your budget's going to determine what software you use.
Yeah,
for
you don't
people
have to spend...
that are, you know, just looking to get into podcasting and everything else, you know, what I use and a lot of other podcasters are using is a program called Reaper. It does all of the professional, you know, editing, all of the tracks, all of, you know, the final mixing, the exporting to MP3 and everything that, you know, you will need. It is free for folks that are just wanting to use it for personal use. Or, you know, if you like the program and you choose to support the developers, then I think it's $60 and it's a lifetime license. So, you know, $60, one and done, you get all the future releases. Or, you know, if you just want to toy around with it, I mean, for the first, you know, year or so, that's what I used when Joe and I were doing the podcast. I liked the program, so I opted to, you know, throw a little money toward the developers to keep it going. And, you know, it suits my needs. And my background is, you know, I was much more involved on the music side of things. So hadn't done a lot with podcasting, but I was familiar with the software and, you know, how to edit tracks and combine things and everything from that nature. And I've used Cubase. I've used Pro Tools. I've used Audacity. I've used, you know, FL Studio for some things, Reason for other things. So, I mean, you know, find something that you like, you know, with the internet and YouTube. There's a video for any question that you could possibly have.
Yeah, pretty much YouTube is your friend, especially in the early days of trying to set up, like, our website. That's how I designed it, was watching YouTube videos, and that's how I figured out how to get things onto iTunes and all that. So let's back it way up to, like, all right, you decide you want to do a podcast. First thing I do, you got to come up with a name. But as you're coming up with that name, go ahead and do a search and make sure that name's not already being used. Make sure that your web addresses, your social medias, all those things are available for whatever name you want to use, and acquire those things as much as you want. Because, like, social media marketing is big in podcasts. So you need to have your Facebook, you need to have your Instagram, you need to have your Twitter. So you want to be able to make sure that whatever name you choose,
you need to be able to slide into them DMs.
All those things are available. Because there's two things you're going to have if you want your show up on, say, iTunes, for example. You got to have a logo. iTunes requires you have a logo, and if you go to their website, they give you the specifics of the size. So you got to have a logo. And then you also have a website, because iTunes doesn't actually host your media. They just basically pull your files from your website through an RSS feed, which, like I said, there's videos on how to set all up. So you're going to have to purchase a website somewhere to host your media. So, you know, some people have a dedicated media hosting service that they actually upload the files to. Other companies, that can also be included in your website, but you're going to need to have somewhere online to put your stuff that's not iTunes. So, you pretty much have to have a website with some kind of media host before you can submit to these distributors.
The long and skinny is you need your website for your URL, but then you need a host, you know, to actually upload and manage the...
Because we actually use HostGator for our website, and they have media hosting included with their site. There's, like, unlimited data. But some places there's, like, a limit on how much you can physically upload to the site, so you have to get a separate media hosting, but like I said, you can Google all that stuff. There's ton. There's Blueberry. There's Podbean. There's tons of these places that, and some of them will even include, you know, the website with it. So like I said, you got to have somewhere to upload that media to once you have it recorded.
And you know, as we're talking about hosting, and you brought up a very important point, is file size. I will tell you right now that, you know, most people recording a podcast, you're not recording an MP3 directly. Most of the time you're recording a WAV file. WAV files are very, very large. You know, to give people an idea is when I usually put the show together in, you know, RAW format, it's usually about half a gig. And, you know, when I compress it down to MP3 in the final mix and everything, it's cut down to 50 megabytes. Keep in mind, people are streaming. They're, you know, listening to it on their mobile devices where they may not always have a Wi-Fi connection. For me, my goal is to get every episode as close to 50 megabytes as I can.
Yeah, because not only if you have a huge file, it's going to take too long for your listeners to download it, but also sometimes there's a data cap on what you can upload. I know I've run into it. It's like 64 megabytes seems to be like an average limit on a few things where you can't upload a file bigger than that. So you want to definitely want to keep that low, not only for the speed of it all, but once you said you've got something recorded, you've submitted it to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever, and you get that approval that yay, this thing is available and can start downloading. As far as the actual production of the show, consistency is probably your most important thing. Like I said, you know, shit happens, life happens. Sometimes you can't release at a regular schedule, but
lashings every time that happens.
But trying to,
I bear these scars for you.
You know, make a plan. You know, even if it's something you're like I said, we try to do, you know, every other week. You know, but even if it's something monthly, you try to hit that whatever you deem as your.
Yeah, if you say the 5th of the month, do your best to make it the 5th of the month, yeah, you know, because I'll tell you, like, you know, I mean, we can look at the stats and, you know, even sometimes like when we're, you know, a week behind, you know, you can sometimes see that. But, you know, more importantly, like if you've got, you know, major system crashes and it's like, oh, shit, we're down for a month, like you know, definitely see that in the numbers.
Yeah, people might forget about you and you lose like subscribers or whatnot. And then there's also like, you know, content. You know, you can pretty much do a podcast about anything, but, you know, try to make it interesting. You don't have to be a stand-up comedian, but, you know, find something that you're passionate about that, you know, you want to talk about for, you know, at least an hour at a time. And that team, you know, we usually go, you know, hour and a half, close to 2 hours, but, you know, hour seems to be about the standard in the industry. So like I said, you pick topics that you're not going to have a problem being interesting and talking about it for.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things, you know, I mean, which we're guilty of it. I think everybody is guilty of it, but you know, inside jokes, things that only one or two other people that are your closest friends are going to get, don't really bode well when, you know, you're talking to a general audience, you know, because nobody gets it or understands it. So
especially when you're on episode 3.
Yeah.
If you've been around a while, you've had some subscribers, right? They might get callbacks to, but like Stan Lee said with comics, every episode is somebody's first episode. So yeah, you don't want to rely too heavily on old data. You know, and like I said, just the most important is to, you know, have fun with it. I'm like, you know, it's, you know, it's,
this is fun.
Yeah, it's mostly fun. Some days.
Sometimes it feels like a job. Am I doing it wrong? Am maybe. I being a bad podcaster?
You might have, like, smoke another cigar. We have to go back to drinking.
That's what it is.
But yeah, you can, like I said, we have, you know, a halfway decent, you know, studio set up. But you don't have to buy the top of the line gear, except for, like I said, don't skimp on your microphones. But like I said, it can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. It's like, just have fun with it. And like I said, YouTube is your friend. That's how I learned how to post stuff to iTunes. That's where I learned how to build my website. You know, and pretty much, you know, in your very early stages, that's where you're going to get most of your education.
If you don't understand how to mix audio, or, you know, if, hey, I want to make this fade in and fade out, and you don't quite, you know, understand. I mean, videos out there for, you know, just about every software platform imaginable are there for your disposal. I mean, that's probably where we spent most of our time, was just, you know, researching and, you know, determining the type of show that we wanted to be.
Yeah, because like I said, it's got to be fun for your listeners, but it also got to be fun for you to make. And yeah, so far we're 96 episodes in, haven't run out of shit to talk about yet, so we'll see.
Working on it, man. Pool's getting pretty crowded.
So with that, I think that's our blowing smoke for this week. If you have any questions, like I said, feel free to email us. You know, we're cigarnerdpodcast@gmail.com, or
hit us up on the socials.
Yeah, yeah.
Slide into these DMs. We love to hear from
our
listeners.
@cigarnerdpod on Facebook and Instagram. Like I said, we'll answer any questions you have. And if you're coming to DragonCon, find us at the smoking deck. We'll be out there by the pool with the.
we need to start a Snapchat. We need to get on that game.
That's the one. Yeah, that too.
I mean, that way we can have puppy dog filters.
Yeah. Do some Instagram lives and start doing the.
I want to give my cigar some bunny ears.
Start trying to put it on other downloading sites. But yeah, with that, we'll be right back.
What is the Geekly Oddcast? It's a panel show of television.
I mean, seriously, where else was I supposed to go and watch Gomez Adams ride a rocket ship on a railroad track?
Gaming.
And the dice say 17.
Oh my god, 17 is Mystic Quest. And whatever comes to mind.
Why does Zod need a starship?
Alternating Thursdays on the Geekly Oddcast.
Man, it's time for some science. We's gonna learn some shit today.
Well, that's good, because last podcast I didn't learn shit.
I mean, we've been talking about going to college, you know, so we should do something educational, at least a little
technically
bit.
Technically, I am at college. Gosh, hiccup's still bleeding over.
So, if you got hiccups, you know. Drink water, hold your breath, look at something scary. But, speaking of water...
I mean, I've been looking at you the whole time. I think that's a myth.
But speaking of water, a huge, vast reservoir has been found on Mars. I mean, up to this point, we've, you know, seen, like, you know, like said, some ice water and some glacier, some, like, you know, high-altitude stuff where there's signs of, like, you know, rivers and whatnot. This is the first time we found, like, liquid water in large amounts on Mars. Recently published in the Journal of Science, Dr. Roberto Orosai has said that they found a vast river near the South Pole, vast reservoir near the South Pole of Mars, about a mile underground and approximately 12 miles across.
The universe is in a fingernail.
Yes. Yeah, there.
I mean, I can't say that I'm really surprised, though. I mean, you know, yeah, a lot of it is speculation. But I mean, as vast as the universe and everything else is, like, shit's been around a lot longer than what we could ever anticipate.
Yeah, the scientists at the National Institute of Astrophysics in Rome. Basically, they've been analyzing data from the Mars Advanced Radar for subsurface ionosphere sounding, you know, fancy name for giving the red planet a sonogram. This spacecraft fired like 29 sets of pulses at Mars, and they got back results that they say are similar of satellite scans of underwater. Water in like Antarctica and stuff like that, you know, subglacial water deposits. So they're, you know, pretty confident that they're, you know, that they have found some kind of lake, underground lake there. And they're saying this is like, you know, the first place we found that is actually could be a habitat for microorganisms and such. So, you know, if we're going to find some kind of life on Mars, this is probably the best place for us to find, find some kind of, you know, Martians. Maybe not the whole little green men time, but you know, like freaking microbial and, you know, early life.
It's on my fingernail. Watch this. I'm just going to wipe out a civilization.
Some kind of.
Think about how many worlds get destroyed when you clip your nails.
Wow.
Just put that in perspective.
Oh, my brain hurts now.
It's going to be like.
My brain.
It's almost like, you know, that scene from Men in Black where it's like, oh my God, the world is ending.
Yeah. And then the whole, like, civilization that lives in the locker. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of cool that, you know, and I want to see the eventual bass fishing show on Mars. Get some Martian trout.
Martian trout.
Martian zipper bass.
What did you just say?
Zipper bass. And speaking of liquids, even though we've not been doing beer 30s lately because, you know, carbs and whatnot, a Canadian company is, you know, close to producing the first weed beer, or cannabis if you're being, you know, as we said, you know, be more sophisticated, you got to call it cannabis. Yes,
I mean, okay, so, you know, last year, I mean, we were on point with the beer 30s, and, you know... It seems to me, I'm still that from George Carlin, by the way, RIP, you know, it was the year of habanero pineapple beers. Well, yes. This year, I have seen 10 times more hash-infused beers than I've ever seen.
Yeah, now that Leeds getting legal places.
And it's not good.
Yeah, but, well, you know,
it's just the
Toronto-based company Province Brands has been brewing a beer that is brewed with hops, water, yeast, and the stock stems and roots of the cannabis plants, which are the parts that are normally left over when, you know, the flowering, smoking parts are taken out. Because Canada just made weed legal nationwide. The Cannabis Act goes into effect in, I believe, October, which will make it anyone over the 18 can possess up to 30 grams of marijuana and up to 4 plants at home. So part of this, though, they're saying is only covers like the smokable type marijuana and not edibles, but they're saying that by 2019 they expect edibles to also be legalized. So this company's kind of trying to get on the jump ahead of that that legalization so they can have their beer ready to go. And they're saying that, you know, since...
I mean, I see that having a downfall, though. Because that's going to turn into everything has to be in its original packaging. So, nope, you can no longer bring that cookie from home or anything else, like...
Just in case.
Because it's going to be... Well... I know you're eating a brownie, but is it a little Debbie? Or is it a little Doobie?
Yeah. Little Doobie brownies. That's a great marketing idea. But they're saying, too, that this beer, during the fermentation process, they actually remove all the alcohol. So it's designed to get you high and not drunk. So there's actually no alcohol, you know, in the beer. Once it's fermented, and they're also saying that since there's no barley grains or whatever, it's also gluten free for all you people with gluten allergies.
Interesting. But you know what? Usually gluten free just means it's nasty.
They're saying so far that the flavor is dry, savory, less sweet than a typical beer.
Which is none of the things I want in a beer.
Hey, at least it's not an IPA.
Therefore, I'm going to stick to my original premise that, I mean, maybe we should do a poll. Like, there needs to be a poll. Who enjoys the flavor of raw cannabis?
Don't know.
Don't answer that. But just think to yourself, have I, ever had, or maybe tasted cannabis. Don't worry, didn't inhale. But Does it taste good? No, it doesn't. It never has. And putting it in something dry and non-gluten.
It's almost like a champagne.
Traditional like dry, beer ingredients, less sweet. It can't be good. stick to your hash pipe, stick to, whatever you're... Leave the beer alone, man. Leave the beer alone.
Yeah, Providence is saying that...
you know what's going to happen, though, right? People are going to start filling their water pipes with, freaking cannabis beer. And...
Wow, that's weird. But yeah, they're saying it should be ready for widespread distribution as soon as it's legalized.
Widespread, as in this very limited area for...
Of Canada. It will be widespread in Canada. And then maybe, California.
And there's just vast populations of Canada, right? I mean, it's not just a whole bunch of wilderness with lacking of major cities. And,
I don't know. I've never been to Canada, but it looks like they have a lot of... on the map, it's very big. I don't know how, population-wise.
Yeah, it's big. But the population is confined to, three areas.
They're going to have Labatt's Green.
The rest is probably less explored than, Mars.
But speaking of dumb shit you do on alcohol... teenager gets USB cable stuck in his penis.
I mean, sex robots, dude.
He's trying to get a charge. this definitely follows in, 13-year-old boy in China decided to insert a phone charger through his urethra. And he managed to insert approximately 20 centimeters into his urethra, but unfortunately the end of it got tied in a knot and would not come out. speaking of, bad things that happen to you.
I mean...
Oh, and there's if you follow the link to the article in the show notes, there is an x-ray of a charger internally.
I don't even know what to say.
At least you didn't play.
I mean, Japan is synonymous with the sex robots. I mean, we've talked about that. They're also saying that Japan is also kind of at a population crisis because more and more people are having sex with said robots than fellow human counterparts
Yes, well, after discovering the knot, Dr. Zulian, they could not remove it, had to, surgically cut into the boy and cut off the knotted end before able to slide.
So, most people are like, all right, that doesn't make sense. So really what happened is, he inserted it so far up the urethra that it actually went into the bladder, therefore getting in a knot, and that's... That was your issue, is, not in the bladder.
Yeah.
Like K-N-O-T, not N-O-T. If you're into urethra play, then, just make sure you keep it away from the bladder.
Yeah, don't.
To each their... See, this goes back to my original premise. I could be like, man, people are fucked up, but you know what? Hey, if you like sticking things in your urethra, that's all right. Just leave mine alone.
It's a matter of going too far. A little goes a long way. And you just tried to go too far and bad shit happens. Remember the age-old advice, just the tip.
Obviously, Joe knows from experience. Moving right along.
Speaking of karma happening to bad people, recently, the Shibuya Game Reserve in Kitten on the Sea, South Africa, stumbled upon...
Sounded like you said kitten.
Kinton on the Sea, South Africa. Apparently, poachers tried to enter the game reserve to poach some rhinos and accidentally wandered into the lion area and became a snack.
And I'm okay with that.
Yes. This is nature taking care of itself. They found at least three remains of three bodies. They also found wire cutters, axe, and a silenced rifle. These guys were definitely up to some evil shenanigans, and yeah, nature found a way. Make sure you know you're cutting into the the actual rhino pen and not the
which will remain at an undisclosed location.
Yeah, not the the lion pen. It's kind of like the going into the raptor cage at Jurassic Park. Bad things are gonna happen.
No way, you're my boy, Blue. I just gotta hold my hands up like this. Now people can't see me doing this, but that's how you keep a raptor at bay. That or just get in the kitchen. Kitchen's always a place to go because they did that in three movies now.
The raptors know how to open the doors.
They'll be all right. We'll just change the knobs. They'll have to figure out new knobs.
This highlight of,
therefore, wait. We need to raptor-proof our houses. All doorknobs should now be rounded. No yes. More of these elongated handles.
No, you definitely don't want a raptor-safe door. So, it's one of those kind of happy notes of, speaking of Niedermeyer, I always like to see it when an asshole gets karmic vengeance in the end, and these poachers definitely became lion poop. And with that, we'll be right back.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
All right, so, we talked about party, romance, comedy disc, Animal House. Well, let's take it a step further. You talked about the Stoner beer. Well, how about Ryan Reynolds is producing a R-rated Stoner film of Home Alone called Stoned Alone?
Wow.
So maybe what this is he's at home just trying to enjoy a toke. The FBI, raids his house, so he's got to come up with all these crazy Stoner-esque inventions to, keep the Freds from taking him away. Is that too far-fetched?
Maybe. I don't know. Either that or it's, he's like, so stoned that he thinks people are invading. He freaking ambushes the pizza man.
Well, I mean, it says basically, he misses the ski trip for the family vacation. He's 20-something years old. And, paranoia sets in and he believes he hears someone break into the house. Turns out thieves have broken in. Fully stoned and fueled by paranoia, he tries to thwart the thieves and defend his castle.
Wow.
So, I don't know,
I mean, he is Deadpool, so whatever.
I don't know. I just wonder if, Macaulay Culkin, would...
Totally has to have a cameo in this movie.
Yeah, or something, I don't know, so...
Yeah, they are failing at life if Macaulay Culkin is not, like, in the... He should be the burglar.
That would be epic.
It's like vengeance for all the shit he did to the Wet Bandits.
I know, all of your secrets. But I don't know, man. This is my problem, is, they're talking about a stoner. Stoners is going to be like, yeah, man, whatever. I'm just going to sit here and chill. Take what you want. Peace, love, and happiness, bro. And, it should be, Ryan Reynolds, high on bath salts, eating fucking people's faces and stuff. Or, he's just on some PCP just a fucking madman.
Yeah, he's got some lace shit and just fucking destroys.
That would be my concept. But then again, I guess, that wouldn't fall under, Stoner comedy. That would just be, basically your standalone zombie film. we had a small event, something called San Diego Comic-Con.
What you mean? What? What's that?
I don't know, man. I mean, they act like this thing's like Dragon Con or some shit. Whatever. They're 2,000 miles away, man. They live on the West Coast. They're confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, whole bunch of trailers and, you know, tidbits of information and stuff. So, obviously, can't recap all of San Diego Comic-Con, but talk about some things that we did see. Talk about some things that may have been announced. The first thing, we got our first, you know, Aquaman trailer. And Aquaman trailer...
not bad.
It kind of scares me, okay? Because DC has a tendency to make some trailers that don't look bad, but the movies are atrocious.
Yes. And with the exception of Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad wasn't entirely horrible. The DC stuff has not been great, but this actually looks pretty badass.
We've said that about some other things.
We've been fooled before.
At this point, I'm gun shy. This should be like one where it's like, all right, we're not going to charge people for the first, 15 minutes of the film, so they need to release like a 15 minute long intro. And if it doesn't suck, then you can pay to see it in theaters. Yeah. If it does suck, then you know what? You haven't forked out any money. You're not disappointed. And, it's probably going to bode a little bit better for, the studios in that case.
I gotta say the character of Aquaman in Justice League was, it was pretty good.
It was one of the strong points, yeah. Absolutely.
And if nothing else, from the trailer, it looks visually very cool. I mean, it's very colorful and
almost
armored sharks.
Almost had like a if Avatar took place under the water, like some of the visuals, the colors and stuff like that. Like you could put this on one of the freaking aquariums, seven dimensional things, and just be like, yeah, I'm in a little pod just cruising the ocean. I'd be okay with that.
I did see like someone brought up the point that they're like the trailer for Aquaman is pretty much a shot for shot remake of the Black Panther trailer. Like so far they've released a video of both of them side by side. It's the comparison is pretty accurate.
But I mean, I'm not gonna shit on it because I've said time and time again that DC needs to take some tricks out of the Marvel playbook and
yeah.
Maybe they just took the playbook.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I kind of, watching this, I had a little bit of, Thor and Loki vibe going into it a little bit.
A little
and
Black Panther under the sea.
With the Black Panther, yeah.
Speaking of under the sea, of course he has like a redhead sidekick that very much looks like Ariel.
So, I mean,
there's got to be a singing crab in this movie. On da da. I do like the line. Like, there's like one part of the trailer where like she just jumps out of like a plane with like nobody in the pilot's like, did she just jump out with no parachute? And he's like, redheads, you gotta love them. It's like that explained. They're like, all right.
That was not very PC of you, Joe.
It's okay. I'm married to redhead. I can say those things.
No. Just because you're married into that lie. Doesn't mean that it's okay. It's not okay, Joe. Just because you got a red beard.
See? I have a red beard. I can say those things. I'm a quarter ginger.
And there you go again. Next, you're going to try to say, well, I don't have a soul, so tangents. Up next, we got our look at Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Gozira.
It's kind of weird. Like, these films trip me out a little bit.
It's like, very dark.
It's. I never know if Godzilla is going to be the foe or the friend. It kind of goes either way. And
yeah, because in the last,
the other thing is, it seems very Americanized for a Godzilla film.
Well, this is like the sequel to the last like American Godzilla movie that, in that one he was pretty much the hero.
Is that the one with the P. Diddy soundtrack?
No, that was the atrocious Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie. No, I'm talking about the one that came after that, where it actually looks like Godzilla. But, the original like Godzilla King of Monsters.
So they brought back a guy in a rubber suit.
I mean, it's the CGI version of a guy in a rubber suit. It actually looks cool, though. But yeah, you see, I'm pretty sure there was like Mothra and I forget what the other one, the three-headed dragon from Godzilla is. So we're getting to see some, it's not like an original monster like it was in the last one. We're finally getting to see some like OG Godzilla monsters in this trailer. So,
which, I mean, if you go back to, you know, the original.
If they pull out a Mechagodzilla, I'm like, shut up and take my money.
Yeah. They definitely need a Mechagodzilla. I don't know. I'd be okay with a Megalodon or something, too, you know?
I mean, we got Mechagodzilla in Ready Player One, so.
And then, you know, bring back, I need to see some Jet Jaguar.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, go old school Godzilla, you know, for the fans.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's Godzilla.
My mouth is still moving.
Yeah. Now that, you know, the first one that was like, you know, not really a world where Godzilla is widely known. So in this one, we exist in a world where Godzilla has already appeared once. They need to have a guy in like a Godzilla suit show up at some point. So you actually see the guy in the rubber suit just like on the street, like the you know, freaking whatever.
Inflatable T-Rexes.
Yeah. Like, or the, you know, you got the, like that, but it's a Godzilla suit. Like you always have the guys in front of like the Man's Chinese Theater in like the bad superhero costumes. They should just be like a Godzilla street performer that looks like OG Godzilla running around at one point.
There's got to be a train for him to take out, too. Yeah. That's probably one of the most iconic, you know. It's like, oh, I'm on a train, and Godzilla just took out the tracks. But he's supposed to be my friend.
Whoops.
The only thing that was kind of weird was at the end of this, it wasn't quite the iconic, you know, Godzilla roar that I'm accustomed to. Now they did show the blue flame, which I'm cool with. But
this is still kind of a teaser, so maybe they'll add a scream in the the next version.
Yeah, we'll
I got to hear the Godzilla roar before it's an official Godzilla movie.
Yeah. All right. Star Wars: The Clone Wars Season 7. We got a trailer. Yay!
Yeah, I think we mentioned it briefly last episode, but now there's more detail. Apparently, they're doing one more season, but unfortunately, it's going to be on Disney's new streaming app. Fuck. But that may be the one thing that makes me finally, because I've got the Netflix. I'm like, I don't need more streaming shit. But if I have to buy, like, you always get a 30-day free preview with anything. Like, I may sign up, watch the season.
You're just gonna have to wait on the season to end, and
yeah.
You know,
sign up long enough to burn through season 7 of Clone Wars now, and cancel that shit.
This may be another thing to put on the list, but if I was a marketing chief, instead of giving you a 30-day free trial, I'd say you get 15 free episodes.
That would be nice too.
But then it's a 30 episode season, and you're hooked.
Yeah,
you got to know what's going on. You know. I'm your dealer, man.
And they have it designed where that 15th episode is like a huge cliffhanger. So it's like, oh, you want to see episode 16? You're going to have to pay.
14 and a half episodes. I'm giving all the wrong people the wrong money. Luckily, they probably don't know that we exist. All right. You know, something else that I'm excited for. Hey, this does not require the Disney streaming app. You'll be happy to know, as a Netflix subscriber, you can catch season 2 of Castlevania.
Yeah, the first one.
The first,
badass.
You know, little teaser. What was it, like 6 episodes or something? Like,
yeah, it wasn't long for.
I was like,
but it was good.
It's like, damn it, I want more. Like, you know, I'm not a big anime person, but I grew up playing Castlevania, and some of the animes I do like, you know, we were talking is Vampire Hunter D and Witch Hunter Robin, and this very much plays into that kind of art style, and you know, a big fan of steampunk, and of course, anytime you're dealing with vampires and Dracula, you get some Victorian era stuff thrown in, and the gothic, you know, structures and everything, and that just suits my fancy real nice, like.
Yeah, like I said, that first season was pretty short, but yeah, it was pretty badass. I can't wait to see what the second season holds.
Well, if this 1 minute and 58 second trailer says anything, it holds to be good. All right, switching gears. Frank Miller reacquires Sin City film and TV rights.
Woohoo!
About time, because, you know, Sin City, when it originally debuted, I mean, it was a you know, just the art style and everything else was really awesome.
Yeah, that first Sin City movie was good. I don't think I even saw the second one.
Yeah, I mean, I did see the second one, and it didn't quite, you know, have the esteem that the first one did by any means. But, you know, maybe with Frank Miller back in the helm and having the rights, you know, he can, you know, get to work on producing some new stuff. Because, I mean, that was pretty groundbreaking. Always been a big fan of, you know, Sin City and everything. So I mean, it's been a while. It's long overdue. In fact, I would say that if there were a new Sin City movie announced, you know, with Frank Miller's name attached to it, I would probably be more stoked about it than I would Star Wars.
Yeah.
Whoa, did that just get said? I feel like right now, you know, Star Wars has become too frequent. It's kind of lost its nostalgia.
Yeah.
And some of the directions that they've taken. Any other tidbits of information, any news that you would like to share with the people, the listeners,
the people that
make this show possible?
Oh, we got... be sure and check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher. Be sure and go and leave us a review on the old iTunes. You can find us on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at CigarNerdPod. We're also, if you want some shirts, go to RealMenSmokeCigars.com. They got the Cigar Nerd shirts. There's also StrikeForceEnergy.com for your energy needs. Don't forget to use promo code CigarNerds. And with that, I will always follow Bluto's advice. I suggest you start drinking heavily. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.